You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And like Jack Daniels or something.
Good evening and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. I'm looking at some very dishevelled faces in front of me. I can already tell this pod is going to be fantastic, and I will explain why shortly. I'm joined by the full set this evening, which is very, very exciting. The band is back together, but not in one piece. So I'm joined by Rick, Jordan and Jake, all of whom I saw yesterday, and all not in very good shape, really, I don't think. I'll start with you, Rick, because we were talking about upset bottoms before we before I press records.
How are we doing? Not good, mate. One of my worst hangovers this is in many, many, many years. I didn't get out of bed till 6 p.m. other than for a couple of dashes to the toilet. But I'm not good. I'd just like to apologise to anyone who came to the quiz last night for any poor behaviour. I'm really, really sorry.
Apologies for last night. So, apologies for last night. So.
I don't know how we follow up on that. Jordan, how are you?
I'm actually feeling all right now, but similar to Rick, I got in at 5. I turned my phone off and gambled that our game was going to be off. So it was a relief when I woke up at 12 and it was off. And then I stayed in bed all day and watched the snooker and then got up to watch Man City and now got the snooker back on. I had an ice bath. I feel a bit more human after that, to be honest.
Yeah. And after a few weeks away, we are rejoined by Jake, who's had quite the adventure, I hear.
Yes, hello. Yeah, so I got in about 2 p.m. So, I don't know where to start, to be honest. I think the last 24 hours have been pretty mad, from meeting up yesterday morning to go to the football and everything that's happened since then. You know, there's quite a lot to talk about. But yeah, kind of glad to be back on the pod. It's really weird, isn't it? Because I'd imagine that was what we were supposed to be talking about, me being away and being back again. But I suspect there's going to be another story which is going to be far more kind of prominent in the podcast today, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it probably will do. I think we need to start there because I guess a lot of people that follow the pod will probably follow you on Instagram and may have been slightly concerned to see some of your Instagram stories. I'm delighted to confirm that you are in one piece, I believe, anyway, and you're back at home. Where do you want to start? Should we walk through the day and then almost get to the evening, and then we can come back to the game afterwards?
So, the post pre quiz or?
Maybe just start post quiz because thank you for everyone that did join at the quiz. We'll talk about that a little bit, but great success. We've raised over 750 quid for LAMP, which we're really pleased with. Great cause. Evening went pretty well. People seemed to enjoy it. It was a hotly contested quiz, but I think I can't even remember the name of their team now. It's H's team, basically. It was like LDA Old Boys or something. That ran away with the prize, and then you know post that we obviously ventured out into town. I think I left you about one or something. I'm way too old for that. I was just standing there with Joe, basically being like, "We're the oldest people in here," and I left. But then I woke up this morning to a series of WhatsApp messages from you, explaining kind of quite what had happened. Do you want to just walk us through it?
Yeah, I mean, you were only the oldest person in there because Rick didn't get let in, worth pointing out as well. So there's lots of strands to this story. But we went out after the quiz. I think it was me and Jordan remaining. And I think it was about 3 a.m. I decided to get an Uber home. You know, and it's a bit of a trek. I'm staying with my parents. Other side of Melton Mowbray. And obviously it starts snowing. So, you know, it's a pretty hefty Uber, as you can imagine anyway. And I'm thinking, this ain't ideal. As we start to drive, it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And yeah, we get to about 3 miles from my parents' house. I mean, bearing in mind, we've been going for well over an hour at this point. Because he daren't drive any quicker. And I did actually an Instagram story where on the dual carriageway, I was thinking this Uber driver's gonna hate me. And then lo and behold, I'm on the phone and then I just hear a big bash as he slides off the road straight into a lamppost. So obviously it's pretty heavy snow and it's proper country roads as well. So it becomes pretty apparent we're fucked. It's gone 4 o'clock in the morning. There's not many options really. So my Uber driver Raz, sorry, there's so much to this story. Razza, he's having a panic attack, bless him. Like a proper panic attack, thinking, fuck, what is he gonna do? I mean there aren't many options to be honest. But I tried to remain calm. I was like, right, I'll give it a push. So I'm out the front, like, shin deep in snow, pushing from the front, but it ain't moving. And then fortunately, I mean, God knows, a 4x4 drives past. Obviously, sees us in the ditch and stops, and luckily it's a 4x4, and he's got some kind of tow rope, pulls us out. And so bearing in mind, I'm only about 3 miles from home. And he was like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, he's having a panic attack. So, I can't go any further. So I'm like, okay, look, fine. I mean, obviously, this is pretty shit. So let's just turn back and head back to Leicester. And yeah, we'll kind of then make a plan from there. And we're literally, you're talking 5-10 miles now because the snow is awful at this point down the country roads. It takes us fucking ages to get back to Leicester. Long story short, I'm saying, mate, we'll just take me to like the Premier Inn or Travelodge near the station. I'll book myself in there, have a few hours kip, and then just get the first train tomorrow morning. So Razza, bless him, his car's crumpled in two. We're driving around Leicester and he's stopping at every single hotel possible. And they're saying that no room, no room, no room. I'm calling up all of them. They're saying no. And yeah, it gets to just before 7 a.m. And I just said to Raz, I was like, mate, can I just keep on your sofa for a couple of hours? Because there's either no room or they're not going to let me in. And even if they do, it's going to cost me about 100 quid just to sleep for 2 hours. You know, I said, so bless him. He drove me back to his wife and kid, fast asleep. And I was asleep on the Uber driver's sofa before he took me to the train station this morning. And yeah, he got back home at 2 p.m. So yeah, pick your way through that. That's the long story, but in the shortest way possible.
Well, firstly,
how much was the fare?
Well, 60 quid. And obviously, I've still had to pay that, obviously.
Did it include B&B?
No, it hasn't. But I mean, I'm not kidding. He was driving around every...
What a bloke. He sorted you out there big time, Jake.
I mean, he was very thankful for me for being so nice and understanding and calm. In the situation, because he was flapping, but no, he drove me around every single hotel. Like, we're talking like hours, which obviously he didn't have to do. But equally, you know, as thankful as I am for Razzle, I mean, what other options were there? Can he? Like, where else am I going to sleep?
Could have just left you in Leicester, to be fair, couldn't he? Well, your sound's getting in and out here. Are you standing away from your laptop?
I'm downstairs. I'm near the phone.
No. It's just, I don't know. Sometimes we can't hear you.
All right.
That's better.
Well, I'm not moving. But yeah, no, there weren't many options. It was a shit situation. And me and Raza bonded, and that's what we did.
Well, good bloke, Raza. Well done. Yeah, that's unbelievable. Rick, are you still awake or have you fallen asleep?
I'm just resting in between chats.
I don't know where we go from there. Do we talk about the West Brom game? Because that's probably what people would have tuned in to listen to.
You can tell
who's had an ice bath, because me and Jordan have both had ice baths today, and actually... we've got more energy than the rest of you.
Yeah.
So there's a lesson to be learned from you. It was very cold when I got in. I did start sort of, yeah, it wasn't very nice. So obviously, West Brom game, a 2-1 victory and a late one at the Hawthorns. Jordan, you were there alongside me for parts of the game. What did you make of it?
I really enjoyed it, mate. I was saying after that I don't think I've enjoyed a Leicester game like that for a long time. And I can't remember the last time we scored a stoppage time winner, because I'm not having Ricardo against PSV. That was in the 80s. It was in the 80s. Well, away from home.
Okay, yeah.
But I thought we deserved to win anyway. And, you know, the last two away games this week, Sheffield Wednesday and West Brom, I thought we deserved to win both games. But... it's quite frustrating, some of the comments that you get in the away end. I mean, I what I don't understand is, if these people, do they not watch the best teams play? Do they not watch Man City? Do they moan about that? Do they moan about how Tottenham and Arsenal are playing and Liverpool? I don't understand. They must know what we're trying to do. But yeah, obviously when they equalised, people were losing their head. And it was just a long throw, wasn't it? And I think Justin headed it away. It came back in. I watched it back this morning. And Ricardo's a bit unlucky, because he's on the floor and he just tries to prod it away, and it just ends up going straight to their lad and he scores. But what a reaction to get the winner. It was fantastic. I'm sure we'll talk about Winksy a bit later on. But yeah, it was a great day. Left the house at 8. Thankfully, got in slightly earlier than Jake at 5 a.m. the next day. And I can't remember a lot of the day after the game, to be honest. But it was brilliant, mate. And I thought, like I say, I thought we deserved to win. And it was a huge win for us.
It was. Rick, I'm presuming you managed to see a little bit more than the extended highlights this week, because it was on the telly.
Oh, yeah, I did. I agree with what George's saying. I think we deserve to win. I don't think there was a great deal of chances created by both sides. It wasn't one of those games, but we managed it well second half. And yeah, when they equalised, it was tough to take, because I thought we were well worth getting a 1-0 win. But yeah, I mean, the pace that Wink showed for that goal, I actually, on the TV, I thought it was Cassidy, which, having thought about pace and Cassidy, it was obvious it wasn't him. But yeah, I mean, I've seen the goal so many times, and each time I see it, it looks like it's gone wide. I don't know how it's gone in, and had he missed it, I think we would have been obviously devastated. But I think it could be massive for the season. I know we're top and have been top for weeks and weeks, but it feels like a sliding doors moment, that does. What it now does to us through to Christmas, we've got some favourable fixtures, but as we saw in the week, doesn't necessarily guarantee wins. But we've got a nice run now. Leeds and Ipswich got some tougher runs, so it'd be nice to see us at least, you know, maintain what we've got. But if we could pull away a bit more before AFCON, when we lose players, but yeah, all round great. I thought Dewsbury, Winks, and Ndidi were brilliant. I think we've missed those trio playing together when Ndidi was injured. But yeah, I ain't got a lot else to say, to be honest.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate. I'll ask you about beans and little sausages shortly. I do agree with you. I think Ndidi's up there with being one of our most important players now, I think. And actually, the Leeds game, I think we missed a player like him big time, because it's not what he does just going forward defensively. Obviously, we know his qualities as a ball winner, but sort of winning a few times yesterday, we won the ball quite high up the pitch, which I think made a big difference. And he's really, this little dink cross that he's done, that's two or three times he's done that this season. And as you say, Dewsbury Hall, for a bloke that's 5'7", and I know I've been a little bit critical of him in the past, but I thought he played really well yesterday. But his heading is underrated now, because that's two headed goals he scored, unlucky against Leeds. So yeah, we should definitely talk about that. But Jake, aside from your cab incident, you were actually stood next to me for most of the game. What were your thoughts on the game?
I think, you know, echo a lot what George said, to be honest. I thought that we were decent, and I think that West Brom are one of the better teams in the league. I know I've said that about loads of teams, haven't I, in the Championship. And usually it means they're going on a terrible run. But I do generally think, if you look at West Brom's squad, you know, you look at the manager, and they're in real good form as well. You know, to go there and win. Again, in terms of agreeing with people, I think, you know, what Rick said, maybe a sliding doors moment. I think if you break down some of the games we haven't won this year, they can be kind of be easily explained in terms of, you know, just it not going in or us being off it. But I think that yesterday we really had to find something after that Sheffield Wednesday game, and they did. I think it was a good reaction, you know, and to concede so late on and then to go on and score as late as what we did. I really do think that'll be big for the team. And, you know, looking at our next run of fixtures, I like the look of them. So yeah, hopefully we kick on from there. And that result of Sheffield Wednesday is a bit of a kick up the backside, a bit of a wake-up call. But, you know, in terms of the performances as well, I thought there was plenty of good ones. I think everyone was a 6 or 7. Do you know what I mean? But I thought, personally, I thought Dewsbury Hall had one of his best games for a while. I thought he was so influential. And I know that, you know, he's someone that obviously divides opinion, but I've been kind of a big backer of his and supporter, even when he hasn't been kind of playing particularly well, because I just think he's so effective. And I think that even when he isn't playing well, and I know this sounds a strange thing to say, he still impacts the game positively. And I think when he's not there, you miss him, you know. And the Winks goal, it's no coincidence whatsoever that once again in the 90-odd bloody minute, it's Dewsbury Hall with the legs bombing up and down, it's always him. You know, if it's him carrying the ball up the pitch to, there's a little bit of a, what do you call it, to go get out of jail sort of thing. He takes the pressure off with his running ability. And, you know, it's an underrated skill in many ways. But yeah, I thought he was great. And I just love the celebrations as well, what he scored. And then at the end, yeah, all round, I think a very, very, very positive afternoon for us.
Yeah, it was very positive. And you say divides opinion. I think if he plays like that every week, I won't say we'll be absolutely fine, but I don't think he would divide opinion. I thought he was excellent yesterday, and not just because he got a goal and an assist. I think his contribution generally was very good. And it's interesting now looking back at the three games, because in many ways that the late goal we were chatting after the game, maybe that papered over a little bit, a few cracks potentially. However, if you look at it another way, Watford won again yesterday. I think they either won or drew midweek, so they're in good form. Wednesday, Wednesday won yesterday?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
So I think they may have turned a corner potentially. I think their new manager's decent, so we were bang average on Wednesday, in my opinion. I wouldn't have it any other way in terms of analysis other than we were crap. But West Brom obviously came into the game, and all the polls I was seeing online were backing a home win. So I think that's a very, as you say, I think that's a very big result in the context of the season. But I'll ask the question to you, Rick. Do you think that papered over any cracks?
Well, it papered over the cracks that we struggled to deal with a set piece, or, you know, bought quite a standard set pattern of play into the box, like we did against Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, it seemed like whenever they were launching the ball into the box, we didn't deal with it very well. Yesterday, I thought defensively we were much better. I thought Vestergaard had a good game, Fast did. Thought we defended well. But yeah, as Maresca said, we need to be, if we are only going to be very tight, you know, 1-0, maybe 2-0 at best, you've got to be able to see out games. And we very nearly didn't. But then, you know, after we conceded both on Wednesday and yesterday, well, we scored the winner yesterday, but against Sheffield Wednesday, we had a great chance to win it. So the mentality, once we do get that disappointment, we don't let it get to us, and we do try and push for the winner. So I think that's a real positive. But my only concern I've still got at the minute, which I think we can improve and hopefully we will do, is we've not created that many chances, I don't think, in the last couple of games. Watford we did in that second half, but we can, for all the possession we have at times, we can sometimes not make best use of it. So, you know, it's fine. We're finding ways to win, and that's the most important thing. But yeah, there's still stuff to improve on. And finding consistency up front as well is another thing that we're scrabbling for, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I mean, Iheanacho was obviously did well for the goal. I mean, he's done really well for the goal with the ball he plays through and does a turn in the first half. But it's interesting, the last couple of games, he's left Vardy to play 90 minutes on Wednesday, and then he's left Kel to play 90 minutes on Saturday. I mean, he does seem to rotate them, and McAteary rates with Fatawu. But I mean, other than that, his strongest 11 now is very, very obvious, isn't it? Any other players that stood out for you, Jordan?
Yeah, I thought Justin had his best game, certainly this season. And again, I've been a bit worried about him at left back since Doyle's gone, mainly because he keeps having to cut inside every time he has the ball. But I thought he was excellent. As Rick said, I thought Vestergaard and Fez were both very good as well. Probably not Ricky's best game. I thought I want to mention the keeper, actually, because he did misplace a few passes. And again, the sort of abuse that he was getting from around me was just ridiculous. It was bang out of order. I mean, I cannot believe that we've signed him. And I can't believe that none of these top sides or their scouts have seen him and thought, we'll take a punt on him, because I think he's going to be worth well in excess of 30, 40 million if he carries on playing the way he is. I mean, not only is he's a fine shot stopper, but on the ball, I mean, he's unbelievable with his feet. He's, I mean, certainly the best keeper I've seen for Leicester playing with their feet. I mean, the slight reservations around crosses, but he's a Danish goalkeeper, so we should be used to that. Like Rick said, the Sheffield Wednesday goal and the West Brom equaliser are just fairly like routine hoist into the box in the last minute. And one thing it kind of didn't get lost on me yesterday, actually, is that the manager is Italian. And I thought at Sheffield Wednesday, once we scored, it was like, right, that'll do, keep a clean sheet, save as much energy for Saturday. And it felt similar yesterday, like once we got the goal, right, we just keep a clean sheet. And that is how the Italians do it. And they're obviously very good at doing it. But I'd much prefer to see us put teams to bed and get two or three, because I think we are capable of it. And you've seen, you know, Southampton away, Blackburn away, when teams have to attack, we have got that capability to counter-attack still. And we saw it yesterday. West Brom got a bit carried away and went for the winner themselves. And as, you know, you've all mentioned, I mean, that energy that KDH brings in stoppage time, and Winks absolutely busting a gut to keep up with him. I don't, you know, Winks, he's not the quickest lad, but when he slid in yesterday, I was thinking, why has he slid? But he was probably absolutely bollocks from running 60 yards up the pitch to try and keep up with Kin and put it in. And obviously those two were outstanding. And so was Ndidi. Not really a worry, but again, like you said, Iheanacho was fairly ineffective. Mavadidi was, I know, he hit the post with a deflection. Again, he was fairly ineffective, and he was brought off, which is not something that Enzo's done this season. And I do think since Casey's come back from injury, he's struggled a little bit too. So, I mean, if you've been hypercritical there, your front three and didn't really create too much, and KDH and Winks, he bailed us out effectively in terms of goal scoring. But I mean, I think Jake was a bit harsh saying that they were all 6-7 out of 10. I thought they were more 7 or 8 out of 10 across the pitch.
Yeah, maybe a little bit harsh. I think the point you make about it being the lack of ruthlessness, I think that was my frustration. Like first 20 minutes, I felt really comfortable after the first 20 minutes, because I thought, you know, everyone was talking about how good West Brom were, and I felt quite relaxed that I was like, we're, if we play our best today, we'll put this side away. And I think that's my biggest frustration with it. And maybe what worries me with like the games against Wednesday and things like that. And, you know, I'm not going to get into another debate about where we're going to finish this season. But, you know, Leeds, Southampton, Ipswich all won yesterday. And it's the ruthlessness I think we need to show that is either going to decide whether it's going to be a more comfortable season or we're going to be in a bit of a scrap. I think we're going to be in a bit of a scrap because I think games are going to go against us because we do give ourselves quite fine margin for error. But then I appreciate I am Mr. Catastrophe and everything is going to go wrong. But a man that sits in the middle of my opinion and your opinion, George, is Jake. So I'm going to ask him, do you think our lack of ruthlessness is going to cost us?
If anything, yeah, it probably is that. I don't think we are quite scoring enough. And you look at the players in an attacking sense, we haven't quite nailed who is that starting striker. I mean, we can spin it and be positive and say it's nice to have the three options. That's me including Cannon, but it doesn't appear to be much of an option because he's playing at the moment. And then you look at the wingers of Fatu, Mavadidi, you want to throw Eunice in there as a winger, and McAteer. None of them really showing me that they're... You look at our outstanding players and I just don't think they're in those areas. Well, certainly they're not playing like it at the moment. I think they've probably got the capabilities of doing so. I just think that we really need to be more ruthless. You look at, say, for instance, the game against Middlesbrough where we lost. We were the better team, and we didn't put the chances away. But then also, I think something I mentioned yesterday to you guys is that I do generally believe that the teams that we face are different to the ones that everyone else faces, and by that I mean that, you know, when we play West Brom set up differently to what they set up when they play Leeds or they play Ipswich. Why? I'm not really too sure why, but obviously they know how much we like to dominate possession and they sit in. So it is really difficult to kill off a team, to score lots of goals against a team which is sitting in. You know, where say, for instance, Leeds and Ipswich, their games be kind of much more high scoring. But I just think it's because that opposition is just setting up so differently against them. So, I think we've got a slightly different challenge to everyone else. And, as long as we keep winning more than we lose, which we will do, I'm sure we'll have the positive outcome that we all kind of want and expect. But yeah, I just think people need to recognise that the way that teams are setting up against us are just completely different. And it's difficult. It is. It's difficult to break these teams down. But we are making the chances. And we just need to be a little bit more clinical. And what the answer to that is, I'm not quite sure, because, again, we all know I'm a big fan of Iheanacho, but he hasn't been great last few weeks. Again, he was fine yesterday and he played a role in the goal, but I was very surprised he played the 90 when you've got Vardy and Cannon there. I find the Cannon thing slightly bizarre, that you've got someone who appears, with the footage that I've seen, to be a natural finisher, a goal scorer. So you'd kind of think that, a fox in the box, those kind of little chances, we need someone to grab a goal, it's perfect for him. But I know he's had an injury and no pre-season, so he may well be behind, but a little bit premature, but I'm already questioning whether Maresca kind of ever wanted him and if he fancies him or not, because as I said, we're not killing off teams and we know Vardy's limitations now at nearly 37. So yeah, I'm not quite sure what the answer is, other than going out in January and signing another striker, but I don't think they'll do that because you're going to have to move someone on, and I think the squad already is probably too big. So that's a very, very long-winded way of saying that yeah, I think that the chances away probably is the biggest issue, because I think it was one of you guys yesterday mentioned that we haven't conceded more than one goal in a game all season. So defensively, we are sound, we're solid. So, if we can find ourselves scoring two goals a game, that's a bleeding obvious thing to say, but we'll win. But we're struggling to score two goals at the moment. We're certainly making it hard work anyway.
Yeah, we are indeed. I think it was me that said that. I think it, defensively, I think I can't remember, me and Rick went on the Wednesday Till I Die podcast last week, and I said that actually I think we're underrated defensively, because I think everyone talks about all our attacking talents, but the fact is we've not conceded more than one goal in a game. I think we've conceded 11 goals in 19 games, I think 11 or 10, it's not very many. So we're in really good shape there, I think 12, thank you Jordan. Cheers, Stato. So yeah, we're obviously in good shape there. Anything else from the West Brom game that someone wants to talk about, Jordan?
I can see I agree with what you're saying in terms of being clinical, but I do, we have scored 34, which is the second highest in the league. We've got the best goal difference, obviously, by virtue of having the best defence. And what we were saying yesterday as well, the way we play, if you look at the chances that we do create, which we could create more, but the chances we do create, the quality of that chance is better than, you should score most of the chances that we do create. And by virtue of keeping the ball, you obviously concede less chances for the opposition. So I do think we need to be more clinical. But that said, I think, we've still got the second highest attack in the league. And we're, we've also got to think that this team is 20 games old. If you include the Liverpool Cup game, I stand by it. I still think in February and March and April, when the sun comes out and the pitches aren't like they were at Hillsborough last week, we're going to give someone a real hiding. Because you see when teams have to attack, and like Jake says, half of them just sit 10 behind the ball. And when someone has to come and get a result down the bottom because they need to get 3 points to stay up, I think we'll batter someone 5 or 6, to be honest. But we can't not talk about Winks, because I'm in love with the man. And yesterday, I've got nothing bad to say about him. I can't sing his praises high enough.
Well, he's beaten Nottingham, hasn't he? I think that's, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, he's allowed one little glitch. Yeah. But when he scores, I mean, both of his goals, QPR and West Brom are worth 4 points. They're both winners in away games. But he is just so happy when he scores. And I know he don't score an awful amount of goals.
Do you think it's just because he's got a nice face?
Sorry, mate, I didn't hear that for some reason.
Do you think it's just because he's got a nice face?
He has, hasn't he? He has got, he's a really cute lad, old Winksy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an absolute heartthrob of the team, isn't he? But yeah, that even yesterday when I seen his interview after the game, and you know, going up in the studio in his full kit was hilarious. Anyway,
I wonder why that happened.
Maybe some people were singing things about Sky TV, mate.
Yeah.
But he said after that he had never enjoyed his football more in his career than at Leicester, and he was obviously full of praise. I'm sure he's getting paid quite handsomely here, but you know what a big club.
Probably less than he's on this, a lot less than he was on the Spurs, I reckon.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That like for him to say that he's played in the Champions League final, and he's been competing at the top end of the Premier League most of his career.
And he's only what 27, 28?
27, I think. Yeah. So for him to say that he's enjoying his football is, you know, here more than anywhere else is just, he just gets it. And I'm not going to go down the road of slagging off last season's players because Yuri was fantastic for us by and large. But when you get a player like that coming in and said he just wants to come back and enjoy his football, and it's just so refreshing. And I think it's a real, real credit to Maresca for what he's done. And like I think Rick said, but the celebrations at full time, I love that. It's very us against the world kind of attitude, isn't it? And, you know, KDH is rabble-rousing with his top off, and Mavididi and Fatu, I think, were doing a silly dance in front of the away end. But it's stuff like that, and you just see how together everyone is. And it's just so refreshing, and it just makes you think that maybe relegation wasn't the worst thing. And also Cody, another one who's not been getting a game, but apparently when we scored yesterday, he's running off the bench on the
all,
pitch.
All the bench were. Like, I didn't see that, but, I mean, Suter was, like, on the pitch. Hamza was on the pitch. Maresca got booked for running on the pitch as well. But I absolutely love that, because what I... What I really enjoyed was the final whistle went, and like Wink shakes a couple of hands, and then he just runs down to the away end and just like gives it the big in, which was unbelievable. So yeah, there is a bit, it's weird. I mean, had we not won yesterday, I think the knives probably would have been out for Maresca, which
I think you're right.
And I've been disappointed that we've not won games, but I mean, it's ridiculous. Isn't it like utterly ridiculous for that to be questioned? I mean, even if we went and lost the next two or three games, like the start he's had is just crazy. We've won 15 games out of 19. You know, arguably we only need to win another 15 games, you would say, with a few more points, and we'll be home and hosed. So I think the team have almost mismanaged their own expectations in terms of patience and things like that, because they did have that spell where they played so well that I think everyone expects that every week. And it's not going to happen, is it? I thought we were good against West Brom. So I did say after Sheffield Wednesday, we hadn't played well for about 6 weeks, apart from a half against Watford. But you put that into a different context and go, well, we were decent against Watford and we were decent against West Brom, who were two decent sides. So yeah, that is encouraging. Are you still with me, Rick and Jake? You both look fucking
don't feel well. The other thing as well to mention is, although we drew against Sheffield Wednesday and that was a bit calamitous, you know, Ipswich lost against West Brom, and Leeds drew away at Rotherham. So since the return of the international break, they've not actually gained any points on us.
No.
And I think that probably gets a lot, like drawing away at Rotherham's as bad as, well, this may have been slightly better than Sheffield Wednesday, although maybe not so much now Sheffield Wednesday have won a cut. Won one, drew one recently. We haven't scored more than two for what? Was it Preston was the last time we scored three? There's only been three games that we've scored more than two. So it does feel like, although, yeah, we're scoring collectively, there's enough goals there, but not at the minute. I think that's where we do just need to sharpen up.
And one other thing I thought was quite interesting, because Fez obviously had a knock, came off half-time against Wednesday. And George, you mentioned Cody. Interesting that Fez potentially wasn't fully fit, yet he played him and didn't play Cody, because I didn't think Cody was bad against Sheffield Wednesday, but I thought he was probably a little, he was almost playing like as a full right back, which Fez doesn't quite play. He's a little bit more tucked in. And actually, I don't think that helped us trying to play out. I'm not sure how comfortable he is there because he's not used to playing sort of right side of a three. But I think that's quite interesting, Rick, and one that we've talked about, because obviously I think we all made the grand assumption that at some stage he would come into the team. If Vestergaard and Fez are fit, I now can't see that, because I thought Vestergaard had another good game. I mean, the header at the end, for the amount of times he's, I don't know what's happened to him. Maybe it's confidence, but he jumps now and he looks big. He used to jump and he used to get smaller, but he's winning headers now. And he's, you know, there was a towering header against Sheffield Wednesday. He actually looks like a threat. And for so many years, I've looked at our team and thought the other team are bigger than us. And admittedly, set pieces are probably still a little bit of our weakness. But the amount of times he gets his head on stuff, he's not going to get dropped. And, you know, Fez, I did wonder if he was still on the pitch against Sheffield Wednesday, whether he would have won that header, because he wins a lot of headers for us as well. But I can't see Cody coming back into the team now, which is interesting.
Mad, isn't it, to think? And it, you know, not through any fault of his own, really. Yeah, he's had a handful of games and don't think he's played badly. I actually don't think he played badly against Sheffield Wednesday. I don't think it worked, those three of them, as you say, but I thought he played all right. But he's got to be better than that. He's basically got to probably put man of the match performances in to get in. And I think that's probably unfair expectation. So, he's just going to be one of those patiently waiting in the wings. He strikes me as someone that's not going to get to him. He'll want to play, of course, but I don't think he's going to be negative about it, which is positive, if that makes sense, because, it could put Maresca in a tricky spot if not. But, yeah, we'll see.
There we go. Right. Have we covered everything we wanted to cover on the West Brom game? I'm seeing.
Can I go back to bed now?
I'm about done.
Well, I think we're going to do a shorter pod, so I don't think we've got too much more. But I do think we should talk a little bit about the quiz, because obviously there were lots of people that couldn't make it. We had a few questions about whether it would be recorded. Parts of it are recorded, and you would have seen elements on our Instagram story today. My particular favourite was my friends at the New York Foxes put stop oil on Rick's chest and said that we had a protester run on midway through stage. But I feel like it went reasonably well, and we had some lovely feedback from people, and people did turn out in good numbers. So thank you to all those that made the effort to come along. We did really enjoy it. I think thanks to the venue. I don't think they'll be thanking us, but we didn't, you know, no, it was all fine, but there were a few areas that may have not gone as smoothly as others. Couldn't give out any Jameson for free, unfortunately, so a lot of people went home with bottles of Jameson for reasons of licensing laws, apparently. But thank you to those that looked after us. But Rick, I think we're probably going to have to sort of talk through your celebrations and what went through. So for those that weren't at the quiz, we did an entire round, which was like the picture round, except Rick was on stage acting through a number of celebrations, so 10 celebrations. And how you know, the morning after, the night before, how do you feel it went, Rick?
It knackered me out, to be honest. I kept doing laps of the out one door and back in the other, didn't I? It went all right, I think. I don't remember all of it that well, but some of them were difficult to remember and act out. I didn't feel like I had enough space. Hopefully I didn't offend anyone, but if I did, I'm very sorry.
Which one was your favourite?
I think you did Jerry Taggart very well.
Yeah, Taggart was good. That did hurt my shoulder though. I need to get in the ice bath. Get that a little bit sore this morning.
The Riyad Mahrez one was obviously difficult, I'll be honest.
Yes.
I only knew it as Riyad Mahrez because obviously I knew the answer. I'll be interested to know how many people got that right. But it's very hard to do a knee slide, isn't it? And not get the knee slide right.
And then like sort of
slid on the slide on the floor.
Roll over.
I don't think you quite got the fist pump. Yeah. The for Riyad, he had a little fist pump at the end.
Oh yes, he did, didn't he?
But Akin Bayi was good, mate, considering that wasn't actually part of the quiz. That was
I don't know what. I should have put that in there. And, you know, fortunately, I did actually get some of the answers wrong to the quiz, which people point out. But, you know, it's all part of the learning process, isn't it? So,
was it David Pleat, wasn't it?
David Pleat. Yeah, I think that was one. As far as I'm aware, no one else pointed me wrong on any of the questions, so...
But I thought it was a good quiz, considering I did none of the questions. I kind of played along myself. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone said it was quite hard, but then the winning score was 37. 37 out of 50, though. I feel like that's
decent, isn't it?
That's decent. So, I mean, if it made it any easier, we would have needed to do the tiebreaker question. So, you know, I think...
This is the point where I can say that's the only... trophy that LDA will ever win.
Right. That LDA Old Boys, is that what they're called?
I think so. I don't know how they're going to split a signed shirt between four of them.
Well, I forgot because there was another prize actually, which I'll give a shout out to on the pod. So the Space to Breathe Collective have given them a month's free yoga pass in Leicester. So
I'm very jealous of that.
I know I know you are. So we're all going to have to head down there. Because the bloke from there's messaged me, but they very kindly donated that as well, which is absolutely brilliant. So the prizes were I think we did quite well on the prizes. So thank you to Dave at Space to Breathe, appreciate that.
Yeah, I definitely think there's room for some big strong hatha yoga somewhere.
Yeah, we'll have to head down sort Rick's shoulder out. I think Rick's tight in the mind, tighter in the mind than he is in the body, though, to be fair. So we need to release his mind.
Emancipate myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So anything else you want to talk about in the quiz? Anything that was reasonably memorable? Any stories for people?
I just thank everyone for turning up on their Saturday night. And it was a long day, wasn't it, after West Brom?
It was a long day,
had been to the Hawthorns as well, to actually turn up in one piece was a bit of an achievement in itself.
Yeah, we were... LCFC Lee was in the row in front of us. So only the second time I've met Lee, but what a bloke he is. What an Instagram account he runs. So very nice to see him. I know he had a good day. It was just brilliant to see everyone. It's genuinely mad to think that people, well, they might not be listening after this week's effort. This has been a 4 out of 10 podcast if we're lucky, aren't we?
We've given everything we've got.
Apologies for last night again. Should we any other business, George?
No, not that I can think of. Just got a good run into Christmas now, way before we play Ipswich. So take 10 points out of the next four, hopefully.
We've got Plymouth Saturday. We've got Millwall. We, of course, got Millwall in the cup. And then who is it after that?
Rotherham, isn't it?
Rotherham.
No, Birmingham.
Birmingham, then Rotherham. Yeah. So reasonably decent run. A bit of time in between, so should be all right.
And, you know, hopefully, like I say, 10 points, what that puts on about 55, 56 by Christmas Day. So, before we play Ipswich, that would be nice. And then
we're about halfway there now. What happens if we're not on 56 points by then, Jordan? What forfeit are you going to do?
I'm not going to do any forfeit.
No.
But we're halfway there now, so keep ticking them off.
I think... Yeah,
beans and little sausages.
I've got absolutely.
Jake's got some in.
Jake's got some in.
No, I have. I'll warn you, it's kind of on a serious sad note. Like, I've got a serious thing to add. today's podcast. I was thinking about not saying anything, but I think I should, particularly off the back of the podcast and the live show being raising money for LAMP. Obviously with the mental health and men's mental health, which I know we've spoken about a fair amount before and raised money and supported. And obviously it's a cause very close to Jordan, which he kind of advertises a lot. But yeah, so obviously I've not been here for the last few weeks, month or so. And look, you know, I've been fine. I've just had too much on to the point that, you know, I felt a little bit kind of overwhelmed by life. And I needed just to take a break and a step back from some bits and pieces. But look, genuinely fine. But then over the weekend, there was a guy I know who worked at a football club who had a bit of a breakdown and went missing, was found in the sea in Cornwall. But luckily, he's okay. They got him just in time. And then when I was on the way home last night, obviously, I know we've spoken about the trauma of that trip home. I received a message to say that somebody I worked with at TalkSport has sadly passed away. And I was told a couple of weeks ago he was struggling. And yeah, and that was obviously kind of really hit home, as I'm sure you'll imagine and understand. So I just wanted to say, obviously, we're raising money for LAMP, Men's Mental Health, and we did that yesterday. And just a stark reminder that it's a thing, and they just happened to two people very close to me over the course of the last week or so. And as I said, even with my own life over the last month. So I just thought I'd kind of mention that. And once again, kind of, you know, if you've got any issues to talk about it, I know when I said to you boys, you know, I need a little bit of a break, you know, Jordan's kind of message to see if I'm okay and that. And look, you know, genuinely, I have been fine. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there and kind of anyone who can support and support and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I just wanted to end. I know it's a serious and sad note on the pod. But yeah, I just thought I'd mention because yeah, it's been a strange weekend.
And yeah, firstly, well done for mentioning that, Jake, because it takes a lot of guts to do that. But it puts into perspective, I guess, why I think LAMP's such a great cause that we did it for last night. I think Richard talked about, you know, the work that they do, and I had a chat with Liam on Thursday, and like, help is really hard for people to find out there. So, you know, I think Liam was saying to me, you know, the 750 quid that we raised last night will help one person, which is brilliant, but it's obviously demonstrates how difficult it is to get the help out there. So we did put a link on our, it's not why I'm mentioning it, it's a bit, I don't want it to be too contrived, but there is a link on our Instagram story to LAMP. So obviously we raised some money last night, but you know, if anyone wants to donate any more than that, there is a link there. It all goes towards that brilliant cause. But yeah, as I say, mate, well, thanks for mentioning it, and yeah, good to have you back on the pod. But we all completely understand why.
Yeah. So yeah, all good. And yeah, hopefully back on pod and normal duties will resume as of next week, and hopefully can actually get some games as well, which would be nice. But yeah, no, lads, glad to be back. And yeah, nice to have a win to talk about. And yeah, enjoyed the quiz very much so. And following 12 or God knows how many hours it's been, it's been a weekend I won't forget for a while. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, hopefully we're on better form next week. It's been a distinct lack of energy, really, hasn't there?
If anyone can see me and Rick, you and Jordan look okay, but me and Rick are literally horizontal, just about muster the energy to pick up a phone and put it close to our face. Yeah, got about a 2 out of 10 from us, and you two.
More breath as well.
Can you tell us what Oscar said to you earlier?
It was Darcy said my breath smelled. She said it was unpleasant. It's horrible. It really is. Got to go and do something about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll call it there. Thank you for your time, chaps. Thank you to those that have listened. You know, probably not our best performance of the season today, but you know, we'll be back bigger, stronger, and potentially less hungover next week for you. Thanks for listening.
Hopefully.
Social Podcast Network.